Dear congregation, let us confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and never forsakes the work of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us worship together as we sing from Psalter 110, All Stanzas. 110, All Stanzas. For this Easter Sunday, we turn to the resurrection hope we can find in the Old Testament of God's servant Job. And we read chapter 19 of the book of Job. Then Job answered and said, "How long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have ye reproached me. Ye are not ashamed that ye make yourself strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed ye will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. He hath fetched up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone, and mine hope hath he removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine house and mine maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of my own body. Yea, young children despised me. I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written! Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But you should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishment of the sword, that ye may know there is judgment." Thus far, God's precious word to us. This time we make also confession of our undoubted Christian faith, and we continue the reading of the Athanasian's Creed, the last part tonight. We start at line 29. "Furthermore, it's necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who, although he is God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ, One, not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of that manhood into God. One, altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, at whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give account of their own works. And they that have done good shall go into everlasting life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. In our prayer, we would like to remember Pastor Serafini, who has taken a call to a OPC church in North Carolina, the Landis OPC church that called him 3 weeks ago, and he had received liberty to answer that call in the positive. We also remember Dr. Miskin, his birthday was this week, and several other things that we want to bring before the Lord. Let's now unite our hearts in prayer. The Lord is risen indeed, and he is seen of Simon. Lord, we thank thee. Thou art a God who searches for sheep that have gone astray. We praise thy glorious name. We praise thee, Lord, for thy risen power, for thy resurrection power, and for thy tender love and thy great kindness towards sinners who go astray again and again. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art a God of abundant mercy, and that thou art a God of a new beginning, that thou art a God who gives grace and power to fight sin, that thou art a God who gives grace to those who weep over their sins and turn away and look away in trust and faith to thy beloved Son, who could not be held by the power of death because he was the perfect Son of God, the righteous one, the sinless one, the spotless one, and therefore the risen one. Death is vanquished. Hell has to be shut its mouth, O Lord, and sin cannot no longer have dominion over us. And so, Lord, we come with joy and rejoicing in thy merciful kindness toward us. Sinners as we are, we come, Lord, knowing that we are sinners to the depth of our being, but Lord, we pray that we would know more of the power of the resurrection, the power of that new beginning, that we have not only died with him when he was crucified, and that we learn to die daily, but that we are risen with him, that he is alive in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, to defeat sin, to vanquish sin, to shut the mouth of the devil, and to shut the mouth of death even. Even though we will die, we will one day see out of our flesh, we will see God. Oh, what a hope we have. What a rejoicing we have through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his death, that we now can stand before thee. Cleansed, accepted, loved, empowered, so that we can serve thee acceptably through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, as we see his sacrifice, as we see his resurrection power, may we, oh Lord, by the mercies received, then also give our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and that we might more and more prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of our God. And that we would therefore, Lord, sacrifice ourselves in light of his sacrifice, and that we would therefore plead for more power of the Holy Spirit in light of his resurrection power. And so, Lord, meet us tonight. Meet those who go through troubles and struggles and trials, those who are discouraged, those who have gone astray. Meet us, Lord, in all our need, in all our troubles, in all our trials. Meet those who rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Meet those who rejoice with the disciples after they finally came to that point in their lives where they could wholeheartedly embrace the Lord is risen indeed. Lord, meet those also. Rejoice their hearts. Fill them, Lord, to overflowing tonight. Meet with us, Lord, through thy word. Speak to us so that we are transformed by the power of thy Holy Spirit. As we see the glory of Jesus Christ, as we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee for kindly caring for each one of us. Thou art our creator and sustainer. And we pray also that each one of us would know the power of the new creation. That we would know what it is to stand in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. That we, O Lord, would be those who know that thy word tells us who we are. A new creation in Christ through the resurrection of the dead. Lord, but we see so much that looks so deadish around us in this world, or even spiritually dead. So many, there is so much darkness. There is so much, Lord, there is so much unrest and lack of true peace, the peace that Christ gives. Lord, we think of the war in Ukraine. It still continues. Will thou in thy mercy give a stop to it, Lord? Give that there would be peace. But Lord, if we look at the situation, it seems to get worse and worse. Aren't thou the God who makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth and breaks the bow in sunder? We plead with thee, Lord, that there would be peace. We plead with thee, Lord, for thy people Israel, that they would come to saving faith, that they would no longer reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but embrace him and the fullness of his grace, that they would see truly this is the Messiah, this is the chosen one of God. We pray, Lord, for those who are in the dark in our country here in Canada. We pray for our leaders. Lord, what shall we say? The darkness is great, O Lord, and we do not need to tell thee how wicked things are. Euthanasia, abortion, homosexuality, crimes, increasing lies being propagated, even into high places. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We have turned away. And Lord, we pray as thy church, may we once again shine in the darkness in which so many go. We pray to that end also for the meeting of the township, April 25, we pray for wisdom, we pray for grace, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst turn the wicked devices of those who do not trust thee and those who promote evil, that thou wouldst turn them upon their heads, that thou wouldst give peace, that thou wouldst do a great and mighty thing in this township, that there would be a revival, Lord, a returning to thee. We pray for those who speak on behalf of thee. Fill them with the power of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, when we come from this world of war to closer to home, we come also with those among us who on Resurrection Day mourn the loved ones they have lost more recently or a longer time ago. When these moments in the calendar hit, Lord, then the loneliness is felt, and we do pray for those who mourn, that they, O Lord, would put their trust in the resurrected Lord and Savior and be comforted and strengthened and build up. We pray, Lord, for our denomination. We think of Pastor Serafini, who was unable to answer a call in the positive to the OPC in North Carolina. We do pray, Lord, for him and his family. We pray that he would be enabled to transition smoothly to that place. We do miss him, Lord. We thank thee for all the years of service, faithful service in our denomination. We do pray for the New Jersey congregation, Lord, as they are called upon to seek a pastor and to say goodbye. Lord, help them and bless them and strengthen them for that moment. We do pray for our denomination, Lord. Also, we think of our missionary in South Africa, Dr. Miskin, as he turned 70 this week and celebrated his birthday, this milestone in his life. Lord, thou hast brought to him to this point. Thou hast brought him to this Ebenezer. Lord, will thou care for him and carry him even when he gets older. May he in his old age still bear much fruit. May he be fat and flourishing, as the psalmist says, to ascribe righteousness and holiness and everything to thee, Lord. There is no unrighteousness in thee. Thou art his rock and refuge. Lord, we pray for our denomination at this time also, for students, the students of our denomination. We think especially of student Louis Loeza, as he hopes to preach for us next week, as he is in this area already. Bless him and his family richly. May next week also be a rich blessing. We pray for Daniel Zhu, who also studies on behalf of our denomination. Bless him as he has not too long ago been united in marriage. Help him and bless him and use him mightily. We pray for student Martijn Heiboer as he hopes to go and teach for some time in South Africa. Bless him richly. Help him to do so in the power of thy Spirit. Work mightily in his life. Lord, we pray for Andy Griswich as he also studies for the denomination. Bless him richly as he has a heart for evangelism. Lord, will thou please use him mightily at the place that thou hast appointed him for? Will thou lead him? Will thou guide him? Lord, we think of our denomination as we have a collection today for the denominational, the DOC, the Domestic Outreach Committee. We pray for that work, Lord. Bless it richly. We pray also, Lord, for the upcoming synod in June as the synod material needs to be discussed sooner or later. Bless us with wisdom from above. Give us unity also as the June Synod will take place here in Burgessville. May it be a great and rich blessing, Lord, to each one who is there. And so, Lord, we cast our cares upon thee. We thank thee, Lord, for Wendy, who is getting better and has made some progress and improvement in her health. We thank thee for thy kind care over her And we pray, continue, Lord, to hear prayers and continue to bring strength and healing. Continue, Lord, to shape us and form us into the image of Jesus Christ. And bless us tonight, Lord. Meet with us. Without thee, we can do nothing. But with thee, O Lord, we can rejoice in thy glorious deeds. So fill our hearts tonight. Fill them, Lord, with the glory of Jesus Christ. And we pray it in his precious name. Amen. We sing together Psalter 385, all stanza 385. Deliver me from evil, preserve me, Lord, from wrong. And what follows, it's a version of Psalter, Psalm 140, and it's 385. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a glorious fact the resurrection is. The resurrection of our risen Lord. The Lord is risen indeed. When we hear those words should fill our hearts with thankfulness and adoration and hope. What a truth. What a truth. The Lord is risen indeed. He has burst the bands of death. He has taken the shackles of death, the power of sin and death and hell, and broken them. The Lord is risen indeed. It tells us there is a conqueror who is stronger than death, who is stronger than hell, who is stronger than any type of sin. He's the only Savior. He's the risen Lord. The Lord is risen indeed. Now, in our text tonight before us, Job saw the risen Lord. Years before the resurrection happened, Job saw the risen Lord with the eye of faith. And we pray that tonight that would be the case for each one of us as well. That we come face to face with the eyes of faith, seeing Him, embracing Him, because that's what the resurrection is for, that it becomes a very personal thing in our lives. The truth of the resurrection should lead us to that personal embrace, as we heard this morning as well. Job was comforted by the truth of the resurrection, even in the darkest of times. And I pray that there would be maybe someone here tonight who says, my life is indeed dark, or maybe listening in and says, this is what I need tonight. It's easy to say, beloved, Christ is risen indeed, or the Lord is risen indeed, and it's a beautiful fact, and we rejoice in it. But it's harder to say, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, when everything around you seems to crumble. And yet, that is exactly the glorious hope this doctrine of the resurrection of the dead is able to do in our life. It should inspire hope in us, even in the darkest of situations. It's a hopeful doctrine in the most hopeless of circumstances. It's calling us to put our faith and draw our comfort from Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, alone. And that our hearts would find comfort and rejoice in Him who is risen indeed. And so with God's help, we would like to consider this glorious doctrine, which is not just a doctrine, this is a reality of the truth of Easter as it empowered one of the saints of old in the Old Testament, Job. Verses 23 through 27 is our text, and I read verse 25, where we see those glorious words of Job. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So our theme is Job's resurrection hope. And first we hear his cry briefly, and then his confidence, and then his comfort. So children, I don't think I need to tell you that Job lost almost everything. His family, his sons and daughters, his livestock, his support of his wife, the support of his friends, and in fact, almost everything. And he ends up there at that heap, the ash heap, that miserable ash heap, with a sickness that is chewing on his body in a way that he says, well, this is going to end in death. And then on top of that misery, his wife comes to him and says, curse God and die. And his friends that are surrounded, first they were quiet, but then they start talking, and there's no comfort in their words. But Job knew, while they said, well, Job, you must have some sin there hidden. He said, no, I have walked in my integrity. He tells us something about these troubles in verse 10. He feels like a tree that is plucked up by the roots. Verse 13 and 14, he feels like his family and friends have become strangers. He feels forgotten. Earlier, he calls his friends miserable counselors. They had tried to convince him what happened because of a certain secret sin. They said that it was that was the reason. But Job knew, no, it's not that. And Job couldn't see it. That behind all those dark clouds that gathered over his life, that there was something behind those dark clouds that Satan was seeking to destroy him. He couldn't see that. But that was the reality. And he knows, all he knows is this deep sense of forsakenness. Verse 15, that even he says that even guests and servants treat him like an alien. He feels forsaken by God and everybody else. And then in verse 21, it comes to a climax. You see it coming to a climax. He cries out, "Have pity on me. Have pity on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me." And even though he feels forsaken, even though he lost almost everything, he didn't lose God. It felt like it, yes. But God had not changed. And God was still on his side. And it's here when he hits rock bottom, in his deepest despair, that Job's faith is given an airlift, we could say, in a way that has not been shining before in this book so far. It's here that Job receives a beam of gospel light into his heart that maybe even he doesn't understand half of what he is speaking about. But this is a ray of light and glory upon his heart, and I pray that that ray would shine through these words tonight in your and my soul in a remarkable way. What Job is saying gives us an insight in a remarkable way that is so beautiful and actually so precise, especially when we look at it from the light of the New Testament. It's as if Job saw the Lord Jesus already. And so let's look through his eyes. And may we come and see and rejoice and wonder and be amazed and encouraged all at the same time. So as Job realizes that this light of God's revelation bursts, as it were, upon his soul in the darkest of circumstances, we hear him cry for someone to listen. Have pity on me. He wants someone to take note of what he's saying. He's filled with the desire that what he now sees would be treasured by those who would live after him. We read that in verses 23 and 24. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Oh, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in a rock forever. When you hear that in light of this chapter, it's almost if Job can believe that anyone wants to listen to this. He wishes, though, from the depth of his soul that people would take notice, not only of his situation, not only of his troubles, but that they would be convinced of what he says, the glories that he sees with the eyes of faith. And he says then that they should be written in a book. We think about a book, children, like the Bible, a book like this. No, it's a scroll made from papyrus or leather. And then he corrects himself, as it were. No, not just a book. Not just a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. What do you think about when you think about that? Our minds probably go immediately to a gravestone. Written in a rock to be remembered. But that's not really Job's picture here. It was a public memorial, something to be remembered for later years. That's what they did when they used stone and they digged into the stone and engraved something into the stone and then filled it up with lead. This was done with public memorials, yes, to remind them of the glorious deeds of the past. This was also done with royal decrees. He's basically saying, that's how important my words are. I want them to remain for years later. In other words, Job is saying, my words are so important. I want you to listen to. I want them to be kept from generation to generation, that they would be treasured. And yes, they have been written in stone. There's many a grave that has these words, I know my Redeemer liveth. But it's my prayer tonight that they would be written not just on paper, not just in stone, but that the truth of resurrection would be, as it were, chiseled out in our hearts tonight. Chiseled on the tables of our heart, engraved and carved into our souls, so that it would be just as Job here tonight would be our greatest confidence in the darkest of times, that it would bring us comfort in the deepest of our sufferings. I know some of you are bearing heavy crosses. Some of us have gone through or going through deep trials and sufferings. Some of us might still be struggling with the fear of death. But consider tonight, and come and sit under the word, and let this word minister to you, and let it be graven upon your heart tonight, and let it give you greater confidence in the truth of God's word. As we look at Job's word with the light of the New Testament. And that brings us to our second thought here, Job's confidence. He starts with these glorious words, for I know. I want these things to be written. Why, Job? For I know. I am certain of this. Yes, I'm surrounded by many uncertainties, but one thing is certain. I'm not sure whether I will live or a lot longer. I'm not sure whether my friends and family will understand me. I'm not sure whether I will live in normal circumstances once again. I'm not sure about a thousand of things. But Job says to us tonight, I want you to understand one thing. I want you to know one thing. One thing. I know it deep in my heart. I know it amidst all uncertainties. I know it by faith. What do you know, Job? What do you know? I know my Redeemer liveth. Yes, I will be dying sooner or later. Death and this ugly sickness seem to have its ugly grip on me. And sooner or later, I will die. But I have something that gives me stability like nothing else in the world. I know my Redeemer liveth. He's alive. I know he's a glorious Redeemer. And when we listen to this word Redeemer, we think immediately about the Hebrew word Goel, kinsman Redeemer. We think about the book of Ruth, don't we? Boaz. And the nearer kinsman, someone who is close to me when I'm in trouble. Someone to help me when I seem to be losing all. Someone to restore my fortunes. Someone of my very own family. Flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. In my nature. When friends forsake and despise me, I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I know my Redeemer, my Goel, my kinsman lives. I know my Redeemer lives. When we think about these words, it's also this idea of someone who will stand with me, vindicate me in all my troubles and trials. Someone who stands to defend my case and has pity on me. He knows his hopelessness. Job does. But I have a Redeemer. And he knows my hopeless situation and will defend my right. You could say he's an advocate in heaven, court of heaven. I know my Redeemer lives. When we think about this word, we think also about the word Redeemer in the sense of what God did for Israel when he led them out of Egypt. He buys with a price, he buys his people out of bondage. He takes care of all their debts. He pays the price so that I can be set free from this form of slavery. I know, Job says. What a glorious confidence. Do you have such a glorious confidence tonight? Can you say as well, I know him, I know his name is Jesus. He is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. He is in the same nature as I am. He is my nearest kinsman, my flesh friend that sticks closer than a brother, the one who will vindicate me, the one who pays my debts, the one who takes me out of slavery, out of sin, out of death, out of hell. I know I have an advocate at the court of heaven who stands with me, who defends my case. Job said, I am innocent. Maybe you say, unlike Job, I'm not innocent, Lord. I know it. I'm not innocent. I'm a sinner. But still, plead my cause. I know my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer. He is mine and I am his. That's the confidence of Easter Sunday. That's Job's confidence on this Easter Sunday. Beloved, can you say that I know my Redeemer? This is my Redeemer. The Lord is risen indeed. My heart rejoices in this truth. My heart finds stability in this truth. I know he's mine and I am his. It's the language of love. Don't you see it? I love him. No, Job couldn't feel it. That's where we often go, don't we? He couldn't feel it. He could only feel what those worms were doing to his body, what this sickness was doing to his body. He couldn't feel it. He couldn't look at his circumstances. No. It was miserable. And he says it, God behaves to me like an enemy. He says it in this chapter. And yet, these words, you see, that's faith. That's faith. Despite everything that comes contrary to it, when it's given from heaven, it's like a ray of light that brings hope in the midst of death. It's like resurrection power. I know my Redeemer liveth. Whoever you are tonight, this is what we need, don't we? This is the kind of confidence you and I need. Don't rest content until you have this kind of confidence and until you can say this tonight. Perhaps you look at your life and we look at our lives and maybe some of us say, well, I'm in great debt. I don't have much. I have nothing to call my own, but have you ever considered this one? If you have this Redeemer, and you can only say, Jesus is mine, he's my Redeemer, you are rich beyond compare. But how poor you are tonight, if you can say this tonight with Job. You can come to celebrate Easter tonight, and if Easter is not in your heart, you're still poor. That's how it was with the disciples. As we heard this morning, doubting, fearing, couldn't believe it. But how glorious it is when just as that happened on Resurrection Sunday, just as what happened here, in all their misery, there comes this ray of light, and Jesus stands in the midst. And he says to doubting Thomas, "Come, come. You wanted to feel right? Come. Here, look at my wounds. Look at my side. Be not unbelieving, but believing." And when the Holy Spirit then comes and takes these words in deep into our hearts rejoice, and we can say, just as with Job, "I know my Redeemer lives," or with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." No, I don't need to touch. I don't need to feel. I know it by faith. I'm confident. And that's not all that Job said. He said more, verse 25, "For I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." The word "stand" here simply can mean arise. It gives us the idea of resurrection, doesn't it? But it also can mean to take a stand, to legally defend someone who has to testify in court. I know someone will stand up against me and testify in the court of heaven on my behalf. Vindicate me. Someone who will champion my case. Someone who will advocate my case. And that is so true for every believer here tonight. You have someone to champion your case through the resurrection. Jesus has come to vindicate your case. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He saves to the uttermost. He is that high priest, as we have heard in the past weeks, Isaiah 53. He makes intercession for the transgressors. We have an advocate, 1 John. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And look what Job says here tonight about this precious Lord Jesus. "He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." That's the last day. The last day. This Redeemer, flesh of my flesh, my advocate, the one who will take me out of my bondage, out of the fear of death, out of the shackles of hell, out of the bondage of Satan, my intercessor who vindicates me, he will stand upon the earth. The earth can here mean the dust, or it can even mean the grave. The sentence is rather difficult to translate, but we could translate, "At the last he will stand up against the dust," or "At last he will rise above the dust," or "above the grave." Here is someone who arises above the grave, above the dust, who will fight death for me. Do you see it? This is gospel hope. Even in those difficult circumstances, all the way back in the Old Testament. It's as if we hear the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, don't we? "He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." He rises above the grave. He rises above the dust. He stands upon the earth. What a glorious picture of resurrection morning, don't you think? But let's go a little back before we get there. There is Jesus. He stands at the grave of his beloved friend Lazarus. Lazarus has died. And Jesus weeps. He sees the destruction of death, the destructive power, and he's groaning and he's troubled in his spirit. And the idea at a certain moment in that chapter is that he comes like a war horse who is snorting and he was saying, "I'm going to fight this battle. filled with holy indignation at the destructive power of death. And there, it is there that he reveals his identity and says to those who are standing there, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There he stands upon the earth before a grave of a friend. And he calls out, Lazarus, come forth. And death must give way. And Lazarus comes out. I am the resurrection and the life. I know my Redeemer lives. But think about him as well on that glorious resurrection morning. Come and see the place where he lay. That's what the angel said to the women. Come and see. Come and see the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of God's elect. On resurrection morning, the grave is empty. He has risen above the dust, above the grave. He stands, as it were, as a victor on the earth. And he appears to this one and that one and that one. He stands there on resurrection morning, victorious, risen above the dust, standing up from the grave, standing upon the earth, and meeting his distraught disciples. Christ is risen indeed. How glorious it would have been if Job would have been there. But he knows the power now in heaven. He desired that it would be written on stone. And yes, his words are written on many gravestones. But this is what he longed for, that Jesus would stand upon the earth and vindicate his lost people in bondage and fear of death and the power of sin and vindicate them. Stand up for them. Here, Job, look. Look what he has done. But that's not all. We know these words have their greatest fulfillment in one day, when there is one more day, the final resurrection, the day for which we wait, the day for which I hope you look forward with eager longing. That's biblical, to look forward to that day with eager longing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Job already anticipates that day and hopes to see it soon. Job anticipated the day of Jesus, that he, as the glorious and triumphant risen Savior, would stand among all the graves of the earth. Stand among the graves and the dust of men and women and boys and girls who have died. Stand there as the conqueror over sin and death and hell, while the trumpet blasts and tells us, Jesus is here. Finally, he is here. Here is the judge of heaven and earth. Jesus will stand that day upon the earth. He comes with great glory in the clouds. And about that glorious day, John 5 writes, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. What an awful day it will be for those who can say, I know, I trust in this Redeemer. But what an awe-filled day it will be for those who know Jesus, who can say tonight, in faith and trust, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the earth. Have you ever wondered How can it be that all the graves will be opened? How can it be that people will hear the voice of the Savior, who will be the judge of one and the advocate of another? How can it be? Well, Job is able to tell us, even in these verses, if you look at verse 25b, yet in my flesh I shall see who? God. That Redeemer that Job talks about is God. He sees it. He talks about seeing God. That kinsman Redeemer, flesh of my flesh, who suffered and bled and died and rose again with my flesh. I'm united to him by faith. He is God. This is the Savior, the God-man. Many have wondered about this passage and struggled about this passage to see all these things. And some say, well, Job didn't realize this to this extent. And we don't exactly know to what extent Job realized all these things with perfection. But we do believe that glory broke on his heart in these two verses, in the darkest of circumstances. But let us never forget that the scriptures are one, and the Old Testament and the New Testament belong together. Remember those two travelers to Emmaus? What did the Lord Jesus do? Don't you know? Haven't you read your Old Testament? Why are you so slow to understand? He wants us to read them like this. But to what extent Job knew, it's not so important. To what extent do you know? You know, and I know. I know this in our hearts. That's the important question tonight. Do you have this kind of confidence in the Word of God? Do you have this kind of comfort in the most difficult of times? Do you know this is where I need to be? Even when you don't feel you are there, you long to be there. And to know the power of the resurrection, these truths. Even when you go through hard times and trials and difficulties. Even when we might be called to go through persecution. Maybe sooner than we expect. That you can say, I know in whom I have believed. And I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed to him for that day. What have you committed to him? All of your salvation. To fight your enemies, sin, death, and hell on your behalf. Is that what you have committed to him? He's able to do that. He's able to defend you even after death, so that you and I can say by faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, embracing this truth, I know my Redeemer liveth. We can say nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. I think I've used that example before of that Chinese church that was persecuted. And then they said, well, we are going to kill you. Well, that doesn't really help, because then we will go to Jesus, to see with Jesus. Well, we will take your stuff. Well, we have a home in heaven. We will bring you to prison. Well, then still. And so they reasoned, we have this resurrection hope, and therefore they could even go through the deepest of persecution. I think that sounds strange to us with our Western ears, doesn't it? But maybe some of us have known what this is already. Not persecution, but difficulties and trials in your life. That in the darkest moments, God comes with light. And you say, I know, I know. My Redeemer stands with me, stands upon the earth. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. How beautiful, how comforting. When you can say, I belong not, I'm not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior in life and death. That's the power of the resurrection. That's the glorious truth that breaks upon your heart. May it be so. Let's look at the comfort of that after we sing Psalter 202. What comfort is big enough to comfort Job in his deepest sufferings? What is it? What spiritual realities, what truths, what facts? It's the truth of the resurrection. Look at verses 26 and 27. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. The only thing that can sustain us in the deepest of sufferings, can sustain Job, what he's going through, is the knowledge that one day he will see God. He saw something of it. Remember in the last chapters, he realized suddenly how humbling it was. He repented in dust and ashes. But that's not the time that Job is primarily talking about. No, he expects, if you read the context of these chapters, you see it over and over, that he expects to die and then to see God. Though worms destroy my body, out of my flesh I will see God. That terrible disease that he had, skin disease or whatever was raking his body that will bring him to the grave. That's what he expects, that will bring him to the grave, and then he, despite all that, will see God. He said it before in chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me or kill me, yet I will trust in him. Can you say that tonight? After death, I will see him. I will trust him. Even if he would allow me to be persecuted, killed, or suffering, I will trust in him. Even if I would die, I will trust in him. Because there's nothing better than seeing God, delighting in God, in his presence, the infinite, all-powerful, all-wise God. There's nothing better than seeing him whom our soul loves, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died and rose again. To see him in all his beauty with his wounded hands and his resurrected body, basking in his presence forever. There's nothing better. Seeing him is like drinking from an inexhaustible fountain of living waters that refreshes our souls and that fills us up with delight, where streams of pleasure forever flow. That's that place where we will be with him. Job expected to see God after death. Are you? Will you? Is that your delight and expectation tonight? I believe in the resurrection of the dead. And he does so. He believes this, that he will see it, see God with his physical eyes. Verse 26, in my flesh, or out of my flesh, or with my flesh. In other words, with the eyes of my flesh, which is confirmed in verse 27, and my eyes shall behold, shall look upon him. He's not just wishing that, he is expecting that to happen. One day I will have a body, I will have eyes to see the glory of God. A resurrected body. I will see him face to face. And God will that day prove that he is on my side. Job believes that there is a moment that his body will be raised from the grave. And when body and soul unite once again, with that body I will see him, whom my soul loves. What a glorious truth this is, beloved. God rescues you, not just soul, no, body and soul. Let us never forget that. What a truth. He's going to see God without sin in a new body, perfect body, sinless body, pain-free body, without any suffering, without any tears, never dying again, seeing God. We can describe what that will do to us and what an experience that will be. It's just too poor. Our words are too poor to describe the joy and the glory that is revealed for those who fear the Lord, who trust in His mercy. He expects to see God physically, but he expects to see God favorably too. Verse 27, whom I shall see for myself. Yes, that means very personally. But the Hebrew means for my advantage. As my friend. As the one who stands on my side. Who would take up my case. Job expects to see God favorably. He expects to be vindicated that last day. Expect to be welcomed by the Lord himself. How true that is. If this is true for Job in the Old Testament, how much more true this is for every believer here tonight. You will see God and he will not be against you. He will stand with you. He will be on your side. He will be your friend. He will receive you with favor. He will welcome you in his presence and in his love forever. How glorious when you can say that tonight, I know my Redeemer lives. I will see him for myself. Verse 27, Job adds something, which also suggests that he will see him favorably. Whom my eye shall see and not another. Literally, this means I won't see a stranger. I won't see a stranger. I know him. In his darkest moments, Job had complained that he felt as if God was his enemy, in this chapter even, that God was against him. But here is the light of God's grace and mercy and the glory of Jesus Christ comes upon his heart. He sees it with clarity. He's no stranger to me. Can you say that tonight? He's not my enemy. I was his enemy, yes. But by his death and by his resurrection, I have been reconciled. He's no longer my stranger. He's no longer my enemies. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. I know him and he knows me. How glorious. I will see him. I will adore him. I will love him. I will serve him. Finally, the way I want to serve him here on earth. And I can't. Finally. I will trust him. He will bring me up from out of the earth, one of the Psalms. He will surround me with his comfort. This is my comfort in life and death, that I'm not my own. Can you say that tonight with Job? I expect to see him favorably. How blessed you are when you can. How miserable you are when you can't. Then I urge you, seek this resurrected Lord. He is able to give you power to believe. Everything comes from him. Seek him. Seek him. Trust in him. Turn away from your sin. He's the one who makes dead sinners alive. He quickens us while we were yet sinners. While we were dead in trespasses and sins, he gives this spiritual life. That's the work of the risen Lord tonight, even tonight, through his word. He can do it. Nothing too difficult for him. He raises sinners from their spiritual death so that you can see him with your physical eyes favorably and so that you expect him fervently That's what we see last here in these words, though my reins be consumed within me. His emotions go after this. That's what it means. It's consuming him. It's that word though is not in the original though. But it basically means my heart fails within me. I'm yearning. I'm longing. I'm intensely looking forward to this moment. Especially in the light of what he was going through. He fervently looks forward to be and see his God personally. Despite the fact that he feels God is against him. Isn't that amazing? His earnest desire is to see God who will vindicate him. And he will behold him in peace. Paul wrote later, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Same desire. Eagerly looking. Does that resonate with your heart too? On Resurrection Sunday, the disciples said, the Lord is risen indeed. Years before, Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. I know I will see him. Even after I die, I know he will be on my side. Believers still know these truths, same truths. They transform the way we live. They transform us to the deepest of our desires. And even in the deepest of our sufferings. Do you know this very personally? Is Christ your confidence? Is he your confidence and comfort in difficult circumstances? And I can say to you tonight, and one day, you will see him too. So come, embrace these truths. Christ is risen indeed. Delight yourself in the risen Lord. Delight yourself in this cry and this confidence and this comfort of Job. Amen. Blessed Redeemer. We worship thee for rising above the dust and standing upon the earth, standing among the graves. And we pray that each one of us here tonight would look forward to that glorious day when the voice of Jesus Christ is heard and all the graves will be opened. But what a solemn day it is, Lord. Some for the resurrection of damnation. Oh Lord, none here, we pray, none here. We pray that each one of us would be there for the resurrection of glory to see thee forever. We pray, Lord, that this doctrine would also drive us to others. Give us a deep concern for the lost around us. Oh, bless us, Lord. Make us what we ought to be. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. And as we go into this week, may these words echo in our hearts. I know, my Redeemer lives. I have hope. I am comforted. I will see him. Bless us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our doxology is 306, verses 10, 1 and 4. And then also before that, we sing our closing psalter from Psalter 28 and 306, 1 and 4. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.